Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
Global Day of Action in England, government urged to stop fracking. Many actions were carried out by several groups against fracking in England as part of a Global Day of Action for Climate Justice called by Environmental Federation Friends of the Earth International for October the 13th and the 14th. The British government is facing a strong resistance by local communities and social organizations that reject fracking, and these days of struggle against dirty energy and for climate justice have united the different voices of protest. Real World Radio interviewed activist Rachel Kennerly, international climate campaigner at Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland, about these actions, and we also asked her about the new round of UN negotiations on climate change to be held from November the 7th to the 16th in Bonn, Germany.
Real World Radio receives Rachel Kennerly. She is the one of the international climate campaigners at Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Rachel, very, very welcome to Real World Radio. It's really a pleasure being in touch with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Rachel, Friends of the Earth International has been celebrating on October 13th and 14th this global day of action against dirty energy and for climate justice. And we know that in England we have had a set of activities, especially against fracking. And we would like to ask you, what did Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland did in your country regarding these topics, Rachel?
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. So we focused our day of action against fracking, as you say, and that's because fracking is kind of the latest fossil fuel extraction industry to try and get a foothold in the UK. And, you know, campaigners around the UK have had great success against fracking so far. It's banned or has kind of or has a moratoria against it in Scotland, in Northern Ireland, in Ireland and in Wales. So it really is just England going ahead with fracking at the moment. And it's, you know, faced huge opposition wherever it's tried to get a foothold. So we really wanted to focus our, and we're coming up to a critical time in that battle in England, because there's two fracking sites that are going ahead at the moment, and the drilling has started, but they haven't actually done the final kind of that final stage of actually doing the hydraulic fracturing. Those two sites, we really wanted to do a day of action that was in solidarity with those communities and with communities facing fracking around the world, and also to put political pressure on the UK government, specifically Greg Clark, who is one of our ministers. And he has the power to, he has to give the very final consent before hydraulic fracturing can happen. Without his final kind of signature, it can't go ahead. So he has the power to stop fracking in its tracks in England. So we did a day of action with 130 grassroots environmental groups in the UK, lots of Friends of the Earth local groups from our network, but also lots of frack-free groups and groups from other environmental organisations and networks. And they, you know, we weren't prescriptive about what people could do. We provided some materials and recommendations around an anti-fracking day of action, and most people did kind of take action on that day around fracking. But we also saw actions around kind of air pollution and getting clean air on our roads and kind of banning diesel cars and various other things as well. But yeah, a real kind of focus, and to make sure we were linking it to the Friends of the Earth International Day, was this idea of, you know, we wanted people to go out and take action in their local towns, their local villages, the areas that are important to them, the places where they live, they have their jobs, they spend their time, because it's so important that kind of not only are those kind of fracking will have an impact on those places that they live in and they see every day, but also on the health of the people in those local areas. And also internationally, you know, the UK going ahead with the fracking industry isn't just a UK problem. That is a global climate problem. And so we use the hashtag Protect Our Futures, because it's very immediate. It is kind of individuals in those areas. It is their future. But it's also everybody's future worldwide that will be impacted by the decision that Greg Clark, this minister in the UK government, will make. So, yeah, we saw 130 actions from groups. everything from quite small sort of stalls with group members talking to members of the public, getting petition signatures, to some of our groups did big creative actions with samba bands and kind of asking for local banks to divest from the companies going ahead with fracking, kind of quite a wide range. And then we had about 600 individuals take action as well, taking photos, tweeting at the minister. And we have a petition as well with, I think, about 10,000 signatures on, which has, or 10,000 emails that have gone to the minister asking him not to allow fracking. And we did, finally, we did a solidarity action in London with our, with fellow campaigners in South Africa, where they've just heard that their government has allowed exploration for fracking for the first time. So, you know, from one country where we've been campaigning against fracking for kind of 5+ years, we know what the sort of threat that they are now facing in South Africa. So we wanted to send from us at Friends of the Earth Uni, but also from the anti-fracking communities in Lancashire and Rydale, we want to send a message of kind of love and support to all the campaigners in South Africa, because we know what they're going through.
Rachel, a really wide range of activities in which you as Friends of the Earth, England, Wales and Northern Ireland Uni, or also the smaller or different organizations involved organizing the activities in this special day. What is your your evaluation after that? Was that well enough as you had organized before? Do you think that you reached the objectives that you had beforehand?
I think so. I mean, there's always things we can learn and things we can do better, and you know, we've already seen a few things that we know next time we really want to improve on how we run days of action like this. I think a lot of our major objectives were around getting not just our usual kind of, you know, our usual suspect groups, so just Friends of the Earth groups. We wanted to get some other groups involved as well, because it is, you know, the extended environmental network and movement is so important. And we also wanted to help use the Day of Action as a way to train up lots of our activists. So we ran a series of webinars, online tutorials or workshops around everything from kind of creative action planning, so that actions would be fun and energizing and really engaging for the public. We did one on creating video content so activists can learn to amplify their own messages and their voices on social media, and one about kind of fracking community or communities fighting fracking around the UK, kind of like as an update. And so people could hear directly from those communities what was going on their doorsteps. So in that way, you know, we really met our objectives, and the numbers that took part were really inspiring. I think there's always things to learn. I think we can do a better job next time with making sure we're linking our actions more explicitly to the Friends of the Earth International Network. I think there's so much potential for putting making the international network much more accessible to activists in the UK. So that's something I'm really looking forward to trying to do in the future, and using days of action like this to get that, you know, that relationship much more deeper and engaging and really kind of helpful for both kind of other national member groups from Friends of the Earth and our activists and the Federation as a whole as well.
Rachel, but it is clear that this issue of fracking is a very, very important one for the social movements and the social organizations in England, particularly in the framework of a region in which other countries are, as you were saying before, Scotland, etc., are not really accepting this kind of activity in their country. And soon you are leaving to a new conference of the parties of the Climate Change Convention of the United Nations, which is going to be held in Bonn, Germany. How do you connect, Rachel, this local and national very important issue with the international framework, in this case, of the negotiations of the United Nations?
Yeah, it's, I think, the kind of those very top level, high level international discussions at, you know, at the conference of parties. I think they're, you know, it's a really difficult kind of sphere to influence, especially kind of when, kind of, if you're used to working on that more local level. And I think a lot of it is making sure that the UK government is acting in line with kind of the strongest demands that we can make via that UNFCCC kind of process. I think there's, you know, in a kind of a space where a lot of these fracking fights are quite local, and, you know, a lot of the people who get involved on the ground are, and the local communities, they first get involved because they're worried about their land and their health, and they do go on that journey to starting to understand about the international impacts of an industry in the UK, that it does go beyond, you know, their back garden or their community. It is an international problem. And I think that's the one of the major kind of things I aim to do at the UNFCCC conferences, at the conference party, is really to hear those human stories from around the world. So this COP is the president is Fiji this year, so it's a Pacific COP. It's an area of the world that's particularly vulnerable to climate change through sea level rise and through salination of farmland and things like that. And so it's a real opportunity to talk about the real impacts of climate change that are happening right now on a local level in a different part of the world, and make sure that people, by taking those stories from the international level, people all over the world know that climate change isn't something that's going to happen at the end of the century and that we can delay taking action on, but it's something urgent and something we need to do right now. And that really inspires campaigners on the ground in the UK, knowing that they're, you know, they're doing something that is, doesn't just impact them, that it's a fight that's wider than them, and it's a struggle that kind of is international. So I think that's one of the reasons why that UNFCCC space is so good, because is one of the good things you can get from that UNFCCC space, is making those connections and really kind of getting those human stories from it. Otherwise, the conference parties isn't always the most inspiring space as it stands. You know, it's quite a long, drawn out, and not necessarily the most, inspiring or reassuring space to be in. But I think it's really important to make the interventions that we do as a federation, that Friends of the Earth International does, and in the other coalitions we work in, to make sure that we're making the interventions we can to keep those talks as strong as possible.
Okay, it was Rachel Kennerly, International Climate Campaigner at Friends of the Earth England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Rachel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.